The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour brings to you the very latest nutrition information, and the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers bring you EDLP. More about EDLP during the show. Here are your hosts, Al Foreman and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist.
Start spreading.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I have a really special guest today. Dr. Herb Slavin of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is joining me this morning. So good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
I'm looking forward to a great conversation. I think we always have lots of informative tidbits for people to keep themselves well. And that's what you're about at the Institute of Advanced Medicine.
I like to keep people away from the hospitals, the medical establishment.
The out of the grasp of mainstream medicine that seems to rely on pharmaceuticals rather than getting to the underlying health issues and then supporting the function of the body.
Well, not enough is done in that area. You know, when you get sick, you're probably almost forced to rely on medications at that point. We're trying to keep you from reaching that point. See, mainstream medicine is not there. They're there when you get sick so they can prescribe all those medications. Who's there to keep you from reaching that point where you, so you don't need to be on medication, that you can take steps to prevent things from happening?
Okay, and that's where you and the Institute of Advanced Medicine come in. You are supporting wellness so that there aren't there's less and less and less degeneration of the different systems of the body, so they function at a high level, so you resist degenerative disease and infectious disease.
And a lot of it has to do with testing, because the saying I like to remind people about is just because you feel good doesn't mean you're not sick.
Oh, okay. Now, we have to talk about that because I have a little bit of a problem with that. And kind of the foundation of my thought process is I think that sometimes the blood test results and the ranges, the reference ranges that are promoted as indicative of wellness or indicative of disease, I think sometimes those reference ranges probably aren't as universally applicable as they are explained to the patients, that this is for everyone. You have to be in this range. The thing is, I think that there's a great deal of spread there that isn't spoken about. And so we have to talk more about that. But what I want to talk about...
Let me just give an example what I mean.
Okay.
You do the test and you find your vitamin D level is low or your vitamin C level is low.
Right.
Or your inflammatory markers are elevated.
Okay.
Your insulin level is elevated. These are all asymptomatic conditions.
Right.
Which if you knew about it, you would take the steps to correct it. But mainstream medicine doesn't look there. So nobody's telling the patient, you know, that there are things they can do to reduce their risks of having problems later on. But I'll take it a step further. They don't test those things, but when you develop symptoms because of a deficiency of those nutrients or abnormalities with the inflammatory markers, they'll put you on drugs.
And that's kind of where I'm going, that many of the blood test reference ranges and the way that the medical community might interpret them focuses you toward a disease state and you having a pharmaceutical to address that disease state. And I have to say, it's the alternative functional medicine community that's begun to test for inflammatory markers, vitamin D, nutrient levels, essentially. What I wanted to kind of focus on today was brain health, and I think that when we support our brain health, there is a carryover to a positive physical health situation. So I think so many people are afraid of hearing a diagnosis of cancer, but they don't necessarily know what to do to support their immune systems in such a way that it focuses on that innate immune response. But so many people are really positive about taking steps to maintain their brains. And what I'm talking about is in the older population, people play cards. They do crossword puzzles. They do artistic endeavors, painting and sculpture and things like that. They are very cognizant of exercise. And so they're doing what they know to do to keep their brains sharp. And what I want to do today is give them some further information to minimize memory loss, to enhance their ability to concentrate, focus, and retain information, to address depression, because in the elder community, I think depression is a big issue, and if they were to consult their physician, they would be given an antidepressant drug. So let's talk about the things that are possible to help the people maintain their brains. And it's not too early to start when you're 35.
Okay. So, you know, this is a, you know, a complicated topic because there are so many variables involved. And what comes to mind, and we've talked about this before, and then we'll integrate what I'm saying into the general conversation, was when Chris Christopherson was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And we take for granted that a certain percentage of the older population is going to get Alzheimer's, but what people...
Statistics are staggering.
What people don't realize is when I was in training a few years ago, Alzheimer's disease, the other name for it was pre-senile dementia. In other words, dementia in
early,
a younger person.
Yeah.
You see, now they call every dementia Alzheimer's, and it isn't necessarily so. You can have dementia from a vitamin B12 deficiency. You can have dementia for vascular reasons. In other words, poor circulation to your brain. Not just, you know, we look for our heart, but you have to consider the brain as a circulation problem. And then what happened to Chris Christopherson highlights another area that we have to think about. After he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's because he was losing his memory, and this is probably several years later, a doctor tested him for Lyme disease, and he tested positive, and he began treatment for it, and his memory started coming back. So how many people being diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease are even being tested for Lyme disease, for example?
Very few, my guess is.
And I remember hearing a lecture years ago, and they
see, your memory's good. Going back years ago.
They were talking about Lyme disease, and this was by a pathologist. And he observed that the brains of people who had died from Alzheimer's disease reminded him of what the brains looked like in people who had died from tertiary syphilis.
Wow.
Now,
so
where's the connection?
Infection.
Well, it's the Lyme disease is a relative of the syphilis bacteria.
That's pretty scary.
You know, that's what made him draw the connection. And maybe Alzheimer's disease is, tertiary or late stage Lyme disease. Just something to think about.
Oh, just another reason that we need to support our brains.
And your immune system. The immune system, I think, is paramount to everything.
Okay, so when our immune system might flag a little bit with regard to efficiency, would it be safe to say that one of the first aspects that would be noticeable on testing, the kind of testing that you recommend for your patients, not necessarily the universal testing that we see in the medical community, would one of the first signs be inflammation?
It would be a component.
A component. And the other components?
Well, you know what? Almost every abnormality is going to impact your immune system. You know, the immune system is really located throughout your body. So things that are affecting your body are going to have an impact on your immune system.
Okay, now.
Either directly or indirectly.
Okay, so one of the things that I kind of keep in the forefront of my counseling interaction would be that you need to maintain your gut chemistry because the first aspect of your immune response depends on that optimized gut chemistry.
Exactly, true, and a lot of illnesses are based on or caused by a dysfunctional gut. Leaky gut syndrome, dysbiosis. I'm talking about all the many of the autoimmune diseases they have attributed to that problem.
Such important information that we're sharing with our listeners this morning, and it is time for us to take a short break here on the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I want to let our listeners know that today I am available at the Save a Lot Nutrition Center from 2 to 6. So if you have your blood test results, if you have questions about the supplements you're using, if you have questions about the different symptoms you might be exhibiting, first of all, you want to listen to the rest of the program because I'm here speaking with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we are giving our listeners lots of information that they can personalize and then introduce the solutions, introduce the steps that they might consider taking to address those issues. And that music means it's time for our break. Stay tuned. More to come on the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour.
Save a Lot has the entire spectrum of products to support your good health. Let's begin with those choices of organic foods at Save-A-Lot. Minimize your exposure to artificial chemicals found in fertilizers, pesticides, and GMOs. Choose organic foods and support your good health as well as supporting ethical food practices. Come into Save-A-Lot and see your organic food choices at great prices. The best prices. 3105 North State Road 7, Margate. Half mile south of Sample Road in the PennDOT Shopping Plaza. 754 307-1655.
Mr. Al Foreman and his team are working very hard to stock the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center with the best supplements, the best beauty care, the best organic groceries, but the best of the best is the prices. EDLP, everyday low prices. We invite you to come and see what we're creating for you, the savvy health food shopper. Come see us at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7 in the PennDOT Shopping Center, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in Margate, 754-307-1655, 754-307-1655.
Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center with Dr. Herb Slavin of the Institute of Advanced Medicine. And we're talking today about what happens as we age with regard to our brain chemistry. Why does the mainstream medical community think or practice with the precept that as you age, your brain's going to be slower, you're not going to remember things the way you were able to remember when you were younger. The truth of the matter is, There are so many older individuals whose brain chemistry is just as sharp as when they were in their 20s and 30s. So I have a question for you, Dr. Slavin. You're connecting immune response and different infectious aspect that would essentially lead to reduction in not only your physical health, but your mental, your brain capacity as well. So,
think about it this way. When your immune system is not functioning optimally, it increases the possibility of infections becoming activated in your body. After all, they're already there. It's not that an infection jumps into your body. It's there. You've been exposed to it, but your immune system is controlling it. You don't feel any symptoms. But if your immune system becomes weakened, they can become active, and that's when you get a lot of symptoms. So you have to think of anything that works to undermine your immune system has the potential to make you sick.
True.
So when you put things in that context, you know, then you start realizing, you know, everything you do has a consequence, either a good one or a bad one. So, you know, exercise is good. That's going to strengthen your immune system. Lack of exercise is going to weaken it.
Okay. Sugar is going to immobilize your white blood cells for a given period of time. But with regard to those white blood cells, is just monitoring that a reasonable way to see whether you're dealing with an infectious component?
No, I mean, that's an easy way we have of evaluating it. But I have people coming in that feel terrible. You do all the tests, nothing shows up. And that's when, you know, I started looking into other ways of addressing these people, because mainstream medicine doesn't offer anything. Because if the test doesn't show anything and they can't justify the use of a drug, they just put you on an antidepressant. In other words, they say you're feeling bad because you're depressed. That's their...
I can't tell you how many individuals I've spoken with that have been in that category.
So, and that's when, you know, when I investigated, I came up with the possibility that, again, infections are what's making people sick, but they stay below the radar. In other words, it's not going to turn up on a test. An infection has become activated, maybe a virus in your body. And we've had these things. You feel bad for a few days, then you get better. What do you think was making you bad? You know, a virus became active a little bit, and then you get over it. But what happens when you're not so quick to get over these things, and you just feel bad for a longer period of time? Nobody suggests that it could be these, infections or viruses in your body creating that problem. So we have treatments that address that possibility, strengthening the immune system, fighting infections.
But how do we find out what it is that is the infectious agent? And is that important?
Sometimes, especially for mainstream medicine, because they have a drug for every infectious agent. But if you think about it in a different way, if you do things to make your immune system stronger, doesn't matter what the infectious agent is, your immune system is going to take care of it. If you don't have an immune system, you can take all the antibiotics in the world, and you're not going to get better. A perfect example
possibly
of that.
Possibly even get worse, in my opinion.
Patients with AIDS, they have it's acquired immune deficiency syndrome, so they're predisposed to infections, and they don't get better. You know, you can give them all the antibiotics in the world without an immune system. They just don't get better. So when you start thinking in terms of your immune system and infection, a lot of things begin to make sense. And I think, and I just want to go back to help people understand why I think the way I do. Because
before
you have to know
you,
what I know
okay.
to think the way I look.
True,
yeah.
I want you to repeat what the acronym AIDS stands for, because I think over the 20-25 year period, people have just come to think that that's the identification. They don't know what it stands for.
acquired immune deficiency syndrome.
Right. So
and I think it's still controversial to some extent. I remember, and I can't think of his name right now. There's a doctor, and he'd written a book about it.
Yeah, he's out in California, and I went to one of his seminars.
He's not alive now.
Oh, that's too bad. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but and he wrote a book about AIDS, and on the back of the book jacket is a picture of him sticking himself with a contaminated needle from an AIDS patient, because his premise was the virus that they associate with AIDS is not the cause of AIDS.
It's the immune deficiency in the individual?
Well, he was saying other things that cause immune deficiencies. You know, maybe I should go back and read his book to see all the things
and
he was saying that. But I want to go back to understand healthcare in this country, and it goes back to Abraham Flexner. Now, you remember
I'm
that name.
I'm rolling my eyes.
But this is how it happened. And what happened was Rockefeller and Carnegie, this is back in the early 1900s, bought most of the drug manufacturing companies.
Chemical companies, essentially, at that point.
Right. And now they had to figure out, okay, now I've got all these companies with products to sell. How am I going to sell it? The medical schools at the time weren't teaching the doctors to use drugs. You know, they were less
primarily homeopathic and herbal.
Yeah, natural substances, or even trying to look for what the underlying cause of the problem and remove it. Who does that today? We don't care what causes your problem. We're just going to treat the symptom. Even bypass surgery is a symptomatic treatment.
Terrible. Yeah.
You know, so they approached all the medical schools, offered them large grants of money to change their teaching curriculum to implement the use of drugs to treat symptoms. And that's how we came to mainstream medicine, or allopathic medicine as it's known today, using drugs to treat symptoms. And that's where we're at. But not everybody takes that approach. Mainstream medicine does, of course, but you have naturopathic doctors and you have all the alternative practitioners that I think are more focused on looking for the underlying cause of the problem and trying to remove it.
So I just want to jump in and say the American Medical Association would be teaching mainstream practitioners, physicians, the pharmaceutical route and the testing to point the patient in the right direction for the pharmaceutical. A4M, the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, ACAM, the American College for the Advancement of Medicine, those are two organizations very supportive of providing education for practitioners for functional medicine.
Because you would think a normal person, if they get sick, they normally ask, you know, what did I do to get sick? But mainstream medicine doesn't ask that question. They just ask, you know,
what are your symptoms?
What are your symptoms? And here's a drug to treat the symptom. Hoping, well, in large part, most, at least in your early years, most of your symptoms will go away on their own. Your body will, you know, fight the problem and correct itself.
In the early years of life.
Your life, yeah. Your body is still strong, but ignore the underlying cause for many years, and eventually your body is not going to bounce back. And that's why we see all the different conditions that crop up in the later years. You would agree that most people tend to be sick in their older years instead of the younger years.
The unfortunate statistics with regard to Medicare bear out that statement, saying that the most significant amount of money that is paid out in Medicare for patients happens to be in the last 6 months of life. So their health deteriorates to such a significant extent that mainstream medicine throws every technological, chemical approach at a very high cost at these patients, and indeed had their approach to their bodies been focused on wellness rather than illness, it would lead in the Medicare situation to a very, very different level of expenditure.
Now, to echo Dr. Leonard Horowitz.
Yes.
Are we talking population control in their approach to illness? Because they're not doing anything to help people live longer, although they say they are. They're really waiting till you get really sick and spending a lot of money, but you're still, you know, that's in the last 6 months of your life. It's really not making you live longer and certainly not making you live better.
It's making money for a particular segment of the economy. And echoing that, Dr. Slavin, I deal so much with people asking me how to control their cholesterol. And I have people 88 years old and, over 80 that they've been told they have to keep their cholesterol down. And unfortunately, maybe it's under 200 with the use of drugs, but the people have achiness, they're weak, their immune systems don't function, and ultimately their brain chemistry doesn't function. It's very, very interesting that with the use of cholesterol-lowering drugs, you're affecting your liver and the ability of the liver to function for your body, and that interruption of proper levels of fat for your brain contribute then to memory loss, sometimes depression. So there's a physical as well as an intellectual component to using statin class drugs. And so I think why would these physicians focus so much on cholesterol when we need cholesterol to live? White blood cells ride on LDL cholesterol to be delivered to the site of an infection.
Well, a study that was done years ago found that people on statin drugs died less often from heart disease, but they still died, and they didn't live any longer.
Right.
They just died from other causes. Could be cancer, because they found that's an issue. Increases your risk of diabetes. There are a lot of side effects. Increases your risk of certain types of dementia. Why would you want to take a statin drug to lower your cholesterol when you can do a far better job just changing your diet?
And it's very interesting because when I see someone come here with a very, very nice lipid profile, I can tell what their dietary choices are for the most part. But those people have been told no fat, no meat. And the truth of the matter is it's sugar, it's artificial sweeteners, it's contaminated fats. It's a completely other dietary realm that contributes to that elevated cholesterol. There's that music again. It means that it's time for us to take a break here on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I am here with Dr. Herb Slavin of the Institute of Advanced Medicine. And when we come back, I'm going to talk with Dr. Slavin about some testing that might be available to you. Stay tuned. More to come on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour.
Are you taking the recommended supplements meant to address specific health issues? If you've not been able to reach your health goals, maybe the supplements don't have the biological activity necessary. Discuss with me, Janet Cimarelli, the specific nutrients for your health issues. Quality supplements and focused nutrient dosages make a world of difference. To achieve your health goals, come to Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. Our excellent staff has combined experience well over 100 years. You get the very best supplements at the very best prices. Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in the PennDOT Shopping Center, 754-307-1655, 754-307-1655.
Join our mailing list and get advance notice of the great events that take place at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. Health support groups, nutrition education groups, special training events. You will know about all of them when you like us on Facebook. SaveALotNutritionCenters.com, 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655.
And welcome back. You're tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Zimmerle, and I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin and talking to you about a wide range of subjects that impact your brain health, your physical health, how you test on certain mainstream testing offerings. So I want to let everyone know that here at the Save a Lot Nutrition Center, you're going to find jaw-dropping prices. You're going to find a supplement inventory that is incomparable. So we have all of the mainstream nationally known brands, and as I said, they are available at jaw-dropping prices. One of the things that I did want to mention in particular is CV Sciences CBD oil. If you have not tried CBD oil for sleep, for anxiety, for pain, come on in and talk to me, because I can tell you which of the different CV Sciences products will be appropriate for you to use. And I have to tell you that I've been getting such positive feedback from the individuals trying those CBD oil products. Okay.
Let me just comment on that. I had a patient, we gave it for knee pain.
Yes.
And it helped his pain, but he said it also cleared up his psoriasis.
Right. It's inflammation. Now, where I go with regard to inflammation as it relates to brain chemistry, as it relates to immune function, I love omega-3 fish oils. And a lot of times people tell me, okay, well, they're using flaxseed oil. That's omega-3, 6, 9, and a low level of omega-3, and the potential conversion process for the 6 and 9 is minimal. So if you want to support your EPA, the anti-inflammatory component of omega-3s, things like Carlson Med Omega, a liquid omega, you only have to take a teaspoon, and it's got a very supported dose of both EPA and DHA, DHA for your brain. Wiley's Peak EPA I use for anti-inflammatory benefit. Solgar curcumin. Curcumin for some people just dramatically beneficial to reduce inflammation. Dr. Slavin?
And how would you answer a question I had from a patient?
Okay.
The difference between krill oil and fish oil.
Okay. I have a predisposition
You want to save the whales.
Yes. And the penguins.
And the penguins, okay.
Okay. So the populations of both the whales and the penguins in the Antarctic are being decimated because of the krill harvesting. They are over-harvesting. And it isn't necessarily the supplement manufacturers that are complicit in that. It is the fish farms, particularly the fish farms in the North Atlantic. So millions of tons of krill have been taken from the Antarctic. And, okay, with regard to an individual's health, particularly inflammation and brain chemistry, I have found with clients that I've worked with that the omega-3 is far superior at achieving results.
Well, isn't there omega-3 in krill oil?
There is omega-3 in krill oil, and I have to tell you, I don't know why the actual fish oil component is more efficient.
So in other words,
I don't know why. I'm just observing results.
The krill oil is not any better than fish oil.
I would say it is not equal to in results achieved to the fish oil.
So you see better results with fish oil?
Yes. Okay, and I'm going to throw the ball back into your court.
Is the krill oil sold in the store here?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
It's a lot more expensive, too, isn't it?
Yeah, and you get a lower dose. Okay, so I want to hear when you have a patient and they say, Dr. Slavin, I'm not depressed, but my mood isn't what I know it could be. In addition, you know, I work hard. I do the things that I think are going to keep my brain active. I keep involved in things. And it doesn't seem to be working. My brain feels dull. What would you suggest they do to test to see the underlying issues?
A lot of things come to mind.
Okay.
Sex hormones.
Ah, okay.
Thyroid hormones.
Thyroid, such a big issue. And again, here's where I think the mainstream medical community, their manner of investigating thyroid dysfunction is supremely lacking.
What's really interesting is there was a perfectly good thyroid support medication, or glandular, we'll call it. You know, it's
right.
A natural thyroid was available,
right.
But that wasn't good for the medical establishment.
They not because it did, synthesize
right,
it.
Not because it didn't work. They couldn't make money on it. So they came up with a synthetic version that they could patent. And, of course, you can patent anything that isn't found in nature. In other words, it's artificial. So they came up with all the different variations of nature that aren't regularly found and patented it. And then they make their money. And then they want to tell you that taking a synthetic thyroid preparation is better than taking a natural thyroid preparation.
Doesn't make sense to me. And I'm going to go back and relate it to cholesterol. Prior to the introduction of cholesterol-lowering medications, the approach of the medical community was to provide their patients with thyroid support and that actual mm-hmm. natural thyroid glandular that you were referring to. And
just to remind everybody, too, I don't know what the status of trans fats is now. But they found that to be the real culprit behind coronary artery disease, you know, the consumption of so many trans fats, not the other types of fats.
Okay, so critically important to have the beneficial fats in sufficient levels of your diet. And I think that the medical community has been steering people away. Watch your fat intake if you are dealing with elevated cholesterol or poor cholesterol ratio. But the truth of the matter is it was damaged fats. It was factory manipulated fats. Remember when they promoted margarine, mm-hmm. Hydrogenated vegetable oil as being heart healthy. And the truth of the matter is it was circulatory damaging. It was brain chemistry damaging. It was liver damaging, and it was immune damaging. So pushed in the entirely wrong direction.
And then I think we also commented last week on the possibility of a vitamin C deficiency being involved in the genesis of coronary artery disease.
So lipoprotein small a as an indication, how often might you see that in mainstream blood testing results?
Probably never.
Never. Okay. And so that lipoprotein small a test result is going to be, if it's out of normal range, the result can be put into correct reference range by vitamin C.
And believe it or not, thyroid has a role there too in LP small a.
Okay.
And
so if you see elevated LP small a, there is a thyroid component. So you would investigate what people are doing for their thyroid.
All right, here's how they come up with ranges. They take a group of people at random, they measure whatever range you want to look into. Let's talk about thyroid. They measure their levels, and they just to pick numbers at random, and everybody ranges somewhere between 2 and 4. Okay, that doesn't mean that everybody is okay at 2 or everybody's okay at 4. You know, there were people that were good at four and people that were good at two, but the person good at four might not be good at two, and yet if you fall in the range, they're going to say you're fine, and they don't care.
Okay, and see, that's my point about reference ranges across the board. What might be good for one individual might not necessarily hold true for the other individual. What component does genetic information play in this entire discussion with regard to overall health and inflammation and brain chemistry?
I think the thinking these days is about 10%.
Really? Minimal.
Are you thinking more or less?
Okay, so here's my thing. People think that their genes tell the story. Okay, I have the BRCA gene. I have to have a hysterectomy. I have to have my ovaries removed. I might have to have a mastectomy. And my opinion is, you have the BRCA gene. Do what you need to do to minimize the impact of that genetic anomaly.
So they came up with the science of epigenetics.
Okay.
So instead of saying, oh, you're born with this gene, you're doomed, they say, no, that's not what really happens. You may have a genetic predisposition to something, but it's really the environment and how it impacts on your genetics that determine whether or not you'll come down with an illness. And what I tell people, too, is you say, heart disease runs in the family, your patient will tell me. I'll say, it's not genetic. It's usually you live the same lifestyle that your parents did.
Right.
Usually eat the same way.
Right.
You know, you do everything the same.
Same activities.
So you're going to get the same things unless you change. And if you change, you can modify that.
And it's interesting because I very often talk to people who say, well, you know, I inherited all of the health issues of my dad. And I said, okay, well, are you eating differently than your dad? Yes, I do. I pay attention, very close attention to quality diet. Are you exercising? Oh, my dad never exercised, but I do 4 days a week for sure, 30 to 50 minutes of exercise. And I said, well, you have done the approaches necessary to minimize the impact of that potential familial issue.
And epigenetics, I don't know how often you speak about that on the program, but that reminds me of the other test that you'll mention another time, cell well-being.
I love cell well-being. Yes.
Yeah. But I'm just saying a way of looking at how the environment is impacting your genetic makeup. Mainstream medicine ignores this entirely. They're just concerned about selling enough drugs. But the drugs don't make you better. In fact, they allow you to get worse.
Isn't that the truth, that you minimize the symptom, but the underlying reason that you have been experiencing that symptom is allowed to continue? That music means it's time for our last break here on the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back with more after these messages.
Looking for quality groceries at great discount prices? Look no more. You can find the brands you know at the very best prices at Save-A-Lot, and always at the best prices. EDLP prices. Everyday low prices. I said everyday low prices. That's right. EDLP everyday low prices. Come in. See for yourself. See the great selection and be amazed at the prices. Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers, 3105 North State Road 7, Margate. Go to SaveALotNutritionCenters.com. That's SaveALotNutritionCenters.com. You can find Janet's best formulas at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7 in Margate, half mile south of Sample Road in the PennDOT Shopping Center. Learn about building a healthy body with Jana Juice. Two capsules per day start you on your way with easy-to-assimilate antioxidants from kojai, noni, pomegranate, raspberry, lychee, and more. Start today to enhance your health with Jana Juice. Visit Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers to learn more. 3105 North State Road 7 in Margate in the PennDOT Shopping Center.
Welcome back. You're tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and we're going to play Stump the Functional Medicine Doctor. Okay, so I am very interested in herbal support for brain chemistry and reducing inflammation, because I think that as well as gut chemistry, inflammatory issues play a role with regard to brain chemistry. Ginkgo biloba, what do you think of that?
It's been recommended for memory. Mm-hmm. But I think the mechanism of action there is just improving the circulation.
Circulation to the
brain.
It's
actually a blood thinner, so if you go on for surgery, you might want to not take your ginkgo biloba.
Okay. It is research to reduce anxiety, too, which I think plays a role. When people are anxious, it's really hard for them to concentrate.
Well, I just want to make this observation, too, that we criticize mainstream medicine because all they have is drugs to treat symptoms. But I think in the natural health field...
I understand where you're going with this.
There are two categories. Some of the supplements are alternative to drugs that can help treat symptoms. And then there are a lot of products that address the underlying cause or nutrient deficiencies. And I think it's important to make that distinction as well. But if you've got a natural product that can take the place of a drug, you're going to be far better off because it's going to not be associated with as many side effects.
Absolutely. And my perspective is when I work with clients, I have to focus on getting them to feel better, getting them in a positive, receptive right. Interaction, and then we work on their diet. And in addition, I want to send them to Vance Medical Testing Center so that I know I'm focusing my dietary efforts and my supplemental efforts more precisely.
I think it's important for the individual to understand, you know, what's wrong with his body as far as function goes, so they know what they need to do to help improve it. And nothing is better than when a repeat test shows an improvement and,
right.
it validates what they've been doing.
Right.
Well, one of the tests we do is the body composition in our office.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple test, but you know, people appreciate it because you know they work hard to lose weight. Sometimes they come in and it doesn't look like they lost much weight. But
the ratio.
Exactly, because we're looking at fat and muscle. They can see that they may have put on muscle and lost a lot of fat. The weight didn't change much, and things like that are very important.
Their body shape changed. Okay, phosphatidylserine. Here's a substance that fits into the category of getting to the underlying cause, because one of the functions of phosphatidylserine is to enhance the integrity of the cell membrane, particularly the neurons. So what do you think of phosphatidylserine?
Well, that's been a supplement recommended in this category for a long time. And I think that these supplements are important, but you still have to do your basics, you know, that the basics come with how you eat.
I need to get
right.
them into a receptive mood for changing their diet, because that's a hard thing for many people.
Who was it? Can't think of the doctor, but he talked about the excitotoxins
right.
found in foods.
Right, Dr. Blaylock.
You know, so foods, you know, can be good or bad. You know, they're not neutral.
So you want some phosphatidylserine, eat white beans. There's a component of phosphatidylserine. And the other part is their mood. In addition to protecting the integrity of the cell membrane, particularly the brain cell membrane, they are going to have an uplifted mood. Uplifted mood is very much going along with a positive brain chemistry.
And remember what that famous scholar said, Hippocrates.
Let food
be your medicine and let medicine be your food.
Right.
You know, that's really
okay.
where it's at.
So where do I go with regard to that statement? blood type, and I know that that's a controversial subject, but when I'm not getting the dietary response that I expect to get from a client, that's where I go to. What is your blood type? And let's see if any of the negative avoid foods are in your diet on a regular basis. Let's get rid of them and then see progress. Okay, N-acetyl-carnitine.
Well, I don't have a lot of experience with that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to comment on the product you're referring to.
Right.
And it's the kind of product I like because you put in all the ingredients into one instead of having to buy a whole bunch of separate products.
And they're small doses of the different things that for certain people on different medications, they're not going to have a negative impact because the amount of the substance is not enough to interfere with or create a side effect from the pharmaceutical. What's really interesting about N-acetyl-carnitine, I don't know how much our listeners know about crossing the blood-brain barrier, but you have this barrier so toxins don't get through to your brain. N-acetyl-carnitine is able to enhance that fat substance that is critical for the performance of your brain, and it gets delivery to the brain because it is because it crosses the blood-brain barrier. And it is more significant than the, particularly with brain chemistry, than just the straight amino acid L-carnitine. N-acetyl-carnitine is what people need to know about with regard to brain chemistry. What's interesting about this, it's naturally synthesized in our livers. Imagine what happens to those people's brains on statin drugs that interfere with liver function. So you want brain chemistry, brain cell energy. This is what delivers the fats to the mitochondria of the brain cells. Okay, this is an oldie and a lot of misperceptions out there. St. John's wort.
Well, I've told stories about that. It originally came out as a antidepressant, wasn't it?
Well, before it was recognized for its antidepressant capacity, it was used for immune support.
Okay.
And so you think about the potential for infectious agents to so change your body chemistry that ultimately your brain is affected. Okay, here's St. John's wort for depression.
Do you see much St. John's wort around now? Very popular?
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's very popular because, again, the absolute capacity of how it works in our bodies is tends to be misunderstood. So antidepressant, but people don't necessarily understand all of the other components. It is enhancing serotonin levels. It will reduce anxiety. Glutamine, this is a biggie, I think, because of that gut-brain chemistry stuff.
Exactly. And a lot, I would say, 90% of the population have digestive problems in one form or another. They may not even realize it. A lot of people think, oh, it's natural to be constipated, or it's natural to be bloated after a meal. I mean, they disregard, or it's natural to have GERD. Everybody knows what that is now. So I'll just take something... an acid blocker. I don't have to be concerned what's behind the problem. So there's issues, and if you want to start healing the gut, glutamine is one of those nutrients that is helpful there.
And the glutamine is going to minimize that leaky gut, but it also has a component on brain chemistry. And people dealing with neurological impairments of different types, take the glutamine, heal your gut, and it's also going to have a beneficial impact on your neurological aspects.
Could that impact be because you've healed the gut?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's not that it works directly on the brain, but by working on the gut, it's improving the brain.
Okay, but because the gut has been healed, the brain chemistry changes and anxiety decreases, depression decreases. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. The hip bone's connected to the thigh bone. Mm-hmm. Okay, Bacopa. Now, these three, I think, are less commonly used, Bacopa, Vinpocetine, and Huperzine. Any comments on those three?
Nope.
Okay. Nope. So I'll just tell people that antioxidant benefits, you need to be taking these things for about 3 months before you evaluate the efficiency. What do you think of that statement, Dr. Slavin?
I think that's about true with almost everything in the natural realm, not so much with drugs. Drugs will do something right away, but give your body at least 3 months to evaluate the effect of anything.
Thank you so much for sitting with me for this hour. I always enjoy the information that you have to share. And to our listeners, you can find Dr. Herb Slavin at the Institute of Advanced Medicine, 954-748-4991, and you will find him there on Monday, but never on Friday. And I'm here at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center 2 to 6 today. And thanks so much for tuning in to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. We'll be back next Friday at 10.
You've been listening to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman, and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. Remember to tune in again next Friday at 10 a.m. and find out more about EDLP. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.